All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Zach Simony back with a podcast. I know it's been a while, but I'm on the airwaves alone, and that's probably how it's going to be most of the season, so I'll try to keep these podcasts short, informative, and then give you guys some insights on fantasy sports as well as some handicapping. Please make sure you take a look at the picks listed under today's picks. I have great value in picks every single day, whether it be Major League Baseball, college football, or NFL currently. And then, of course, just right around the corner will be the NBA season and college basketball season. I know a lot of you out there love the money line parlays, and you'll see on the website that I hit a big one last year, and there were several others that I hit that I'll make sure I post up before the college basketball season starts. But college basketball is definitely one of the number one sports where you can get high value on money lines almost every single day. But on Saturdays, when there's over 100 games being played, sure, you can be able to find 2 to 3 games, maybe even 4 on a Saturday that you can capitalize on. But right now, it is time for pro football season. We've got a key game on Thursday with the Baltimore Ravens versus the Denver Broncos, a game that is very interesting, for to say the least. I mean, you've got Denver Broncos, a team that many have favored to go to the Super Bowl this year, but there's still question marks. I don't know if there's been a team that's been this highly favored to reach the Super Bowl that has as many question marks as the Denver Broncos have. It's a team that doesn't have a surefire running back. I mean, just think back to Peyton Manning's years when he was with the Colts. He had Marshall Faulk, he had Edgerrin James, had James Mungro for a while, and even the guy that just recently retired, Joseph Addai. So he had a slew of running backs in Indianapolis. He comes to Denver. It's a situation that's not necessarily the best, but I think Denver thinks either Ronnie Hillman or Monte Ball will be able to fit that bill. Maybe they'll just have to do what a lot of teams do that have a couple mediocre backs, and they just do the tandem force. But obviously the game's going to be done through the air for the Denver Broncos, and that's where I think the concern is with Denver. And throughout the season, I'll be very keying in on how Peyton Manning's doing with his accuracy, and not just his accuracy. I mean, he has the capable receivers, but is he throwing the ball down the field as much as it used to? I mean, last year, Denver kind of changed their offense a little bit to keep Peyton Manning from getting in those type of scenarios. But there's a lot of short passes, and just because Wes Welker's there and that's his game doesn't mean that they're just covering up Manning's deficiencies just a little bit. I mean, this guy's 37 years old, and that's right about the time even the greats, they start breaking down a little bit. And you got to keep in mind, his arm's already weakening, and he's coming off that surgery. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs. And with Baltimore, you know, they're coming off the Super Bowl, probably in the same type of realm that the Giants were a few years ago when they won their first. A lot of issues still surrounding them because they were a wild card team and they went on their run. Many believe it was because of the Ray Lewis factor. But you look at Joe Flacco was the leader last year for a defense that kind of gave the offense some holes to be behind early in game. So Joe Flacco, does he have the weapons to keep improving, or will it be something that is going to be a week-to-week thing like the Giants were after they won the Super Bowl? I do think it's going to be that type of situation. You do have Ray Rice, you do have Bernard Pierce, but the receivers are a huge question mark. And then with Dennis Pitta out, they're going to have to rely on Ed Dixon, who is going to be a mediocre tight end at best. So Joe Flacco is going to have a lot of pressure on him. And it's not going to take away his heart and his desire. So he's one of the best deep ball throwers in the league. And I think in a tough division, I don't know if it's as tough a division as people think. I mean, Pittsburgh is tough by their name, but are they going to be tough as a team? I don't think so. They've got more question marks than almost any team in the AFC. And then the Cincinnati Bengals, I don't know if they're ready to step up just yet. So Baltimore's going to have an opportunity to be just like the Giants were after they had their issues a year or two after winning their Super Bowl, where they were just a mediocre 500 team barely sneaking into the playoffs. I think that's how Baltimore's going to be this year, just because of the division. And then once is even if they're a back and forth team throughout the regular season, if they can get that division title at 9-7, 10-6, who knows what can happen in the playoffs. I mean, this is the third time these two teams are meeting and since December, so who knows, they might be facing each other in the playoffs again, and I would not count out the Ravens if that was the case. But we don't want to go too far ahead of ourselves. This game here on Thursday is a line that's kind of been going down from the lines that came out originally. I think that has a lot to do with the suspension of Von Miller. And then there's the question marks on the Denver Broncos defense. I mean, they've got issues with their secondary. Champ Bailey might not play. And we already know about their other issues. The guy that got burned last year is still on the team in the playoffs. So they have some high question marks. And right now I'm looking at live lines offshore. I haven't been to the Vegas sportsbooks today yet, but offshore you've got lines floating around from a -9 at 5 dimes, and Bet Online in sports betting via Yahoo showing -7. So that's kind of a big differential there. I do think that 5 dimes is probably more accurate, and that line will keep moving up as they are going to expect the shootout. It's at Denver, and last year in December, Denver pretty much handled Baltimore pretty easily, and they kind of did have the game in control in the playoffs until some errors cost them. But it's probably a pretty good line to start off the season, and the over-under is at 48. So you're going to want to study that just a bit more. Obviously, if you're trying to get points with Baltimore, wait it out. But if you're going to go on Denver, you might want to think about getting that bet in now, because I don't just think that'll just keep going up. You don't want that to get to 10. This is the NFL. I did write a column over at DocSports.com talking about Thursday night football games. There were some very key key factors on last year's games, and key stats that you could have used last year. I mean, when it was divisional games, I think it was 8 out of the 10 games that sailed under the total. A lot of close games, and that's where the points are going to be the best factor in the NFL. You got to remember these drives by these teams this year are going to be a little bit different with the high octane offenses, the hurry up offenses. So it might be a couple of weeks before we get to figure out what's going on with these hurry-up offenses, if they're going to be beneficial or if the defenses, which early in the season defenses should be more in tune than the offense, but you just never know with the NFL. It is the toughest sport to handicap. So sometimes I take the wait-and-seek approach from a handicapping aspect in the NFL. You want to make sure you know these teams in and out. Preseason can definitely do the wrong insight to a person if they're focusing on what a team did in the preseason. That's why I kind of think some teams that I think will have good value for week one, definitely the Oakland Raiders. I mean, everyone's against them. And this is the NFL where even though people can be against a certain team, it doesn't necessarily mean that's going to happen in terms of odds. I mean, I don't know how many teams last year when they were double-digit dogs covered instead of losing. So Oakland, I mean, they're going to throw Terrell Pryor out there, and the Lions moved from 7 to 10, 10.5 to the Indianapolis Colts. And you know Andrew Luck and the Colts are going to push the ball, and the question is just going to be, can Terrell Pryor meet the challenge? I mean, here's a guy that had to leave Ohio State early because of his scandal going on there with Trestle and a bunch of other players. But he has a chance with Oakland. Obviously, he beat out Flynn. So, he has the legs, too. Having the legs and Darren McFadden healthy is a good factor for me. And the Raiders' defense was underrated last year. Andrew Luck is still young. He's not a fifth, sixth-year player, and he's going into his second year. And there's a lot of pressure on this Colts team to repeat the success they did last year with Pagano out. So it'll be interesting to see how the offense remains moving without Bruce Arians, who's now the coach of the Arizona Cardinals. But they have a lot of the same pieces together. They did make the playoffs last year. So a lot of people would want to just jump on the Colts minus 10, but I think that's too high of a line. It's going to probably keep going up, maybe just another point or two, or stay right around the number 10. But I just think that's an awfully high amount of points for an Indianapolis Colts team that still is kind of shaky on defense. Dwight Freeney's no longer there. And this spread is basically based on the Colts' offense. And that's when it gets to be a risky situation, pinning the Colts' offense solely as an indicator. And got to think the Raiders are going to score some against that Colts defense. And they can get in the high teens, low 20s, which is doable against this Colts defense. I think that they could get a solid cover on that game. Another team that I think has a very, very good chance, and these are just a couple of plays later in the week, I will have another podcast, but the St. Louis Rams, I documented this on an article on over-under totals. They just have a solid group of young players all around. Their defense was very underrated last year, and they have all the same key pieces in place, underrated secondary, defensive line, linebackers. This is a team that may shock some people, and they're just getting no credit right now. I think when you have a quarterback as Sam Bradford, who was number one pick, especially the following 2 years later after RG3 and Andrew Luck, he's kind of an afterthought. He's been injury prone, hasn't had the multiple weeks of success that some of these other younger quarterbacks have had, so he's kind of just put into the back burner. But before all these guys came in the league, the way Sam Bradford's career is going is kind of the way most careers started, so I don't want to count out Sam Bradford just yet, and I like the tools that he has in place now in St. Louis, and that's what you want to look for in a quarterback that is trying to develop, such as Sam Bradford. Now he has to keep pieces together. Tavon Austin's added to the group. Givens is back, a very, very good deep threat, 16 yards per catch last year, and now you've got a tight end in Jared Cook, who just looked phenomenal in a couple of preseason games, especially against the Denver Broncos. And Jeff Fisher is not a coach that's just going to back down. He's going to expect Sam Bradford to come out. He's going to expect his defense to keep playing the way it did last year. And I think when you have a division such as the Rams and Cardinals, Seahawks, and 49ers that they're in, success of the Seahawks and 49ers automatically propels them to the top of the division. Oftentimes when you have a division like that, especially two teams that kind of came out of nowhere unexpectedly with two new quarterbacks, that the spotlight's automatically on them. But St. Louis is a more experienced team, I would say, in this division as far as the nucleus of players they have, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate on the field, so I'm not saying they're going to go out there and win the division automatically, but I think they could shock some people, and I definitely like the over on their win total that I just debuted on notjustagame.com, which was 7.5 wins. They have a favorable schedule. Obviously, it's going to take them winning some games like they did last year against Seattle and San Francisco. And development of Sam Bradford is obviously key, and I'm thinking that he'll be able to be up for the challenge this year just with the weapons that he has. Don't forget about the rookie Tavon Austin out there, who's going to just be a big difference maker with his legs and special teams. You can't discount special teams. I mean, it happens every week on Saturdays in college football, and suddenly people forget about special teams when it comes to Sunday. But special teams is a main part of the game, and Tavon Austin is definitely one of the top three or four special teams difference makers in the NFL right now. Just being a rookie, he's one of the top three. Top three or four. One thing I want to cover before we get out of here, maybe another thing or two, but I want you guys to make sure that the preseason is out of your mind. Just out of your mind. Like I was saying with Oakland, get it out of your mind. San Diego is another team that just was god awful in the preseason. And that's one of the games that hasn't been an indicator of the opening line. With Houston and San Diego is still, Todd Furman says that line will probably move up to 6.5, but Houston and San Diego sitting at 3.5 right now at San Diego. And this is a team, even though they had a horrible year last year, they're usually in games. I know they got blown out in the preseason. Their defense looked horrible. The offense looked horrible. But how will that translate to opening day in September? That's why I say throw out the preseason football. That's something that shouldn't be in your minds. Not a regular season game. And obviously you don't have the same players playing on the field for four quarters. They're out there for a quarter or two quarters. People are going to be rusty in their first experience on the football field. Everyone's rusty their first day or two at a new job. They just need to get acclimated to the new situation, their new roles. Phillip Rivers is still there. Ryan Matthews, if he's healthy, is a dangerous back. And they've still got Antonio Gates. So I think San Diego is one of those other teams that you want to just make sure you blanket your minds on thinking of the preseason, because you don't want to think about that. And lastly, just make sure in the NFL, I don't want to give too much insight because it's early part of the week, but make sure in the NFL you're just looking at the point spread appropriately. This is professional sports, not like college football where you can just look at the spread and say, oh, I want to take this team. This is what they did last week. It's more than likely that will work to your benefit. With the NFL, the line is very tricky. These games go back and forth. Back and forth more than college football do, and it's a professional sport. These games are going to be close for the most part. You're going to have some blowouts here and there, but they're going to be close, and all you have to do is look at the week one lines to see that that's the case. I'm looking at them right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 11 games that are under the number of 6 points in the spread. And when you look at that -3, it's even closer. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's 8 games currently that are either at -3, -3.5. So this is going to be a tight opening week. And I definitely would advise, if you have a successful Saturday, to maybe either take a wait and see approach on Sunday. Maybe look at a second half line in some games, or just key in on a couple games and make sure you just manage your bankroll. But these lines are always tough, and to win these games, you're gonna have to gut them out. It's not like college football where the first, second quarter you can be like, you can relax and breathe. NFL's a 4-quarter sport. Just like college football, but you're going to be waiting 4 quarters for that payout. So just keep that in mind, as a lot of people make that mistake once it comes to the NFL. That was the first show of the 2013 season. I just wanted to give some brief insight onto week one, mainly the Baltimore and Denver game. I'm going to be doing podcasts a lot more than I used to do. And I hope that you all stay tuned. I'll make sure I post them on Twitter and on notjustagame.com. Make sure you subscribe to the Podomatic link, and you'll be able to hear any of my episodes when you're at the gym, taking public transportation, whatever it may be, in your car. I don't care. But I'm going to give you some good insight all season long. This is Zach Simmy signing out. Have a great day.